You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GVTV and the Geek Ventures.
Welcome to the Blurred Nerds podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
It is time for episode 256.
256.
We got lots of news, nerd news to catch up on, especially because upfronts have begun.
And this is canceling time for Netflix. Yeah, it's
new show announcement time, cancellation time. So let's start out with Netflix. Netflix has been in the news for a lot of reasons over the past
Netflix, you've been very, very bad boy.
So first off, they announced that instead of like adding 2.1 million subscribers that they had projected last quarter, they actually lost over 200,000. And as a result of that, they are laying off people left and right.
And they're projected to lose 2 million more subscribers or something like that.
Yeah. So
so far, they've lost over $50 billion in valuation. Ouch.
Which in the grand scheme of things, they're still worth a lot of money.
Still, but yeah, but that's not a good sign.
Instead of, you know, what have they done? They've raised the subscription rate.
Again. Yeah.
Again.
The last time they did it.
And after announcing their losses, they have like laid off over half of their animation department. They laid off this new social media type department, website crew that was part of Tulum. I'm not quite sure because they said it's named that after the noise you hear when you sign into Netflix.
No, I went to their website a few times and was like, oh, it just gave a little bit of extra like behind the scenes information about certain shows.
Yeah, so they laid off the whole crew.
Well,
like yeah, 2 days ago. And the people who were working there, one, were caught off guard because they were only brought on in late December and basically told that Netflix wanted them to turn this site into like a BuzzFeed site with listicles and additional articles, but to revolve around Netflix content. But then they kind of left them on their own and didn't give them any guidance, didn't market them on the main Netflix social media channels.
That's kind of a bad sign.
Yeah.
I would have thought something was up.
And they poached people from other companies and promised them.
So they're like, hey, come to us, more money, better work environments, blah, 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 so on and so on, yada, yada, yada. And then these people leave, jobs they had that were probably more stable than this.
In some cases, paid them more.
Yeah. And then they come, they're like, this is great. And then Netflix is like, hey, remember we said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and let you go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what happened with CNN Plus. They poach a few people and then promise them shows on CNN Plus. And, they were jumping into the streaming wars. And then, Discovery bought Warner Brothers and it was like, hey, never mind about that CNN Plus. So it ends up shuttering after 3 months.
Yeah.
Streaming is a tough business now, man. It ain't like the old days.
Well, it was also like, hey, Netflix, maybe you randomly canceling shit and not giving anybody more than a season two.
There you go. That's it.
Is driving your subscribers away.
I wanted to make that point that they seem to value quantity over quality. They just throw shit at the wall to see what sticks, and then you end up ruining more things than you create. And you just, for the longest time that worked because they were like the only game in town. But now you've got so many other options. You got Disney Plus, you got Apple TV, you got Paramount Plus, you've got Hulu, you've got all these other places you can go for amazing content. And Netflix is feeling that crunch, and people are looking for shows that they can count on. Like, if I get into this show and I watch the first season and I like it, I'm going to expect there to be at least a second season. And then if you mean, you know, these shows start to build, and shows take a minute, a season or two, to really build up an audience and to really build a path to where they're going.
Right, especially when you're only given 10 episodes per season, you know, like so many of us are, you know, we're used to like our CW shows that give us like 21 episodes a season. Like, that's how you build a story and your characters. You give us time with them.
Like, I am generally hesitant to get into shows on Netflix now. Like, there's one I watched that I kept seeing on, you know, like recommendations, and it was Russian Doll. With the and I got into that. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And I'm not a really a big fan of the main actress,
Natasha.
But I was like, it's a good show. I like premise, and it was going good. And I'm like, please don't cancel this. I'm just like, I don't want to.
I don't perceive them canceling after season two, because it's one of their juggernauts now. Now, not to the same level as Stranger Things, and that's what the problem is, because that's what they're looking for. They are looking for the next Stranger Thing that just takes off insanely in the first season, which that doesn't happen a lot.
No,
that hardly ever happens. And that seems to be the mentality they have. Like, they're throwing all this money at Stranger Things, which, I want good special effects in that show.
I mean, it's part of what
makes it.
Throw as much money at it as you possibly can. But I mean, I want it to be quality.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you produce, like, the whole thing where they were like, we're going to get a new movie every week, a new this. How about you just nix that and take your time to create excellent content, and then you won't be like losing subscribers. And, you know, because you like Disney Plus, they don't come out with a new thing every week, but when they do come out with something new, it's of good enough quality that it keeps you entertained until the next thing.
They do have new stuff every week. It's just not always for the same audience. And a lot of the apps are that way, but that's not a bad thing. Don't target the same audience.
Right.
Core audience every week. Yeah. Like, I don't need a new Star Wars show every week. I don't need a new Marvel show every week, because that's too fucking much.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Disney Plus, they own, you know, ESPN, they own Hulu. So there's different things. Like, a lot of the new Disney Plus programming is long form programming from ESPN. Like, they have these 30 for 30 programs that go like behind the scenes on, you know, events in history of sports and things that sports junkie like me would be like, oh, sweet. But then they got like all the, you know, back catalog of Disney movies and cartoons and, you know, and then they've got the, you know, you like and you they said, it's the, very,
they got the Nat Geo stuff. And
Where but Netflix is just also, kind of like,
since they also have Hulu, you know, they're moving shit over there too.
Yeah. Or Netflix is like, here's another vapid, dumb action movie here's a movie with Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds as Ryan Reynolds. Again, it's fine. But it's like, it's not anything that people are really clamoring for.
Well, I don't know if Ryan Reynolds is the perfect example for that, because Ryan Reynolds is very aware when he's in a stupid movie, and that's part of his charm. And people love
it. I know.
And they watch
the some show. Of his movies I enjoy. Free Guy, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but let's use an example, you know, when they have quality shows. So they just announced that they've canceled Raising Dion after two seasons, which again, it's like, anytime a show gets a second season once on Netflix, once we get to the end of that season, then it's like, all right, here it comes.
Yeah, here we go. You're in the darkness now. You're in the unknown. You don't know. You're teetering on the edge. You know? Yeah, like, I canceled Space Force also, which, I mean, the second season wasn't that awesome, but I was like, I didn't think it deserved a cancellation, but.
But it's, again, like, we know, at least with the Netflix model, that after a show goes past season two, the price to make it jumps way the fuck up.
Yep.
Because, you know, they've let that slip before. But, I mean, if your audience is there and watching it just as much as they're watching these other shows that you You know, do we need, I get that reality TV is cheaper and we watch their shitty reality TV.
We watch a fair amount.
it's so fucking hard not to watch it because it's such a fucking train wreck.
Absolutely. They're the worst people.
And it's more of a train wreck than like, you know, linear TV. Like, I don't watch The Bachelor, but I watch the dating shows on Netflix because, well, also 10 episodes. It's not that much of an investment. But yeah, it's just, I guess on streaming, one, people cuss, so they talk like normal people. Right. And it's not less scripted.
It's not like coached. Watered down like it is on ABC, you know?
Yeah. But also, you know, especially like the past couple of reality shows, they've been filmed in Austin. So it's also this like familiarity of, hey, this is down the road. And but then
yeah, you're like, I know where that is. Yeah.
You see these people and you're like,
I recognize that spot.
Oh my God, who are these people?
Yeah, you're like, geez, it makes you think back to when you were in your 20s. You're like, God, was I this terrible? Was I one of these people? Was I this bad?
Well, like that 20-something show, that was more like, that to me was more relatable. Like, yeah, I knew most of those personalities in that show.
Oh yeah, yeah, I roomed with a lot of those people. Yeah. Trust me.
But yeah, that made more sense. But the ultimatum? Oh, wow.
I was like, all of you people need to break up with each other and go away. You need to go find yourselves, go on like a trip or something and get some maturity because you're all horrible people.
No, I'm sorry. Like, if you're with that type of show, if you are putting your relationship up for the world to see like that, then yeah. There's something fucking wrong with your relationship.
If you're willing to give it all, because I watched it and I knew it was going to be a complete, you know, clusterfuck from the beginning. Like, hey, I'm going to give you an ultimatum that marry me or else, but we're going to go on a show and we're going to put all our business on Front Street. And then we're going to like for 3 weeks end up hanging out, you know, dating other people and probably bang other people. They didn't show the banging. I wish they kind of would have shown a little bit.
That no, I mean, they talked about
way
it
way more entertaining. Yeah, they talked a lot about it. And then it's like, okay, after those 3 weeks, we're going to sit you back with your original partner and things are going to be cool again. No, they did it because they knew there would be fucking drama. And there was. And I was sitting there like popcorning it up. Just like, I need more chisme in and about my face.
Like, and I get, like, I know full well part of the reason we get sucked into this shit is because it's one of those, okay, my life isn't that bad.
That's exactly it. You're like, wow, okay, all stuff I'm going through, I'm not dealing with a, you know.
Yeah, perspective.
I'm not dealing with somebody who's dead inside and, you know, is a horrible human being. All right, cool.
Yeah. But like, let's see. So other cancellations we had this week, the CW.
CW dropped the axe on Batwoman.
And Legends of
three
Tomorrow.
Seasons. Yeah, the Batwoman was like 3 seasons later than I expected. I thought after.
I know people that watch it who
I do too.
Really started to enjoy it after the first season.
I just thought that after Ruby Rose had left, that was going to be the death knell of the show. But they carried on gamely, and they just never found the large audience it needed. And I mean, it's a CW; you don't need a huge audience, you know. But even
it is sad to watch another show with, and it's kind of the same thing with Legends of Tomorrow. Both shows led by females.
Yeah.
And they're ones who get canceled.
Legends of Tomorrow, I'm more upset about because I was in that show from the beginning. I mean, I watched that from day one and I loved its zaniness, its irreverence, its whimsy. It was completely bonkers and it knew it was bonkers.
Yeah.
So it would make fourth wall references. And when they participated in the crossovers, they were aware that they were in a crossover and they were just like, hey, this is dumb. This is weird. Is it always like this? You know? And I know, you know, who you're going to miss the most. Bebo. I posted a clip on our Geek Ventures group channel.
Was that the fight scene?
The fight scene.
Yeah.
Bebo needs hugs. Oh my God. I was just like, yes. I'm going to miss that. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see if, because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't know this, but the CW is actually up for sale.
Yeah.
So it's been for a minute. It's already surprising that they handed out any renewals.
Yeah, they renewed The Flash.
The Flash, you know,
Superman and Lois.
To many people, The Flash should have, you know, ended a year ago.
The Flash should have ended like 2 years ago. I mean, it's, I think after the character who played Ramon left,
yeah,
it was just kind of, you know, when certain characters leave shows, you're like, that should be the natural ending of the show, you know, that it just loses the spirit.
Well, unless it is something like Legends of Tomorrow, which is made to have a rotating cast.
Yeah, that's like an ensemble. You're supposed to people come in and out. But
when,
like,
when your core characters leave.
Yeah, you're just like, oh. And The Flash, it's just been, feels like it's been creatively dead for, they keep trying to find things to do with Iris West. And you're just like, do you really need to focus this much on her? I mean, the show's called The Flash. I want to see more Flash. I'll be fair, you know. And it's, I don't know, doesn't work anymore. I think it just, even Grant Gustin's like, all right, you know, this next season might be my last because I'm done with this.
Well, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure he was hoping it'd be canceled. And a lot of people were speculating that it would. And then they ended up with another renewal and everybody was shocked.
Well, he's under contract for like season 8. And after that, it's like, he's not sure. I don't know. I don't think they should go past season 8. I think seasons is fucking plenty, man.
If this, you know, CW ends up getting sold anytime within like the next half year, whoever buys it can also come in and unrenew everything that already got renewed.
Yeah, they could cancel everything. But I mean, that means then, I mean, all the DC shows could still, you know, gain new life if HBO Max, you know, they can just move everything to HBO Max.
Has been the rumor that HBO does want to eventually get all the DC in-house.
Because, I mean, if that's part of Warner, Discovery, Warner Brothers, you know, new plan for the, you know, to remold the DC universe, the shows and the animation, you know, all put them in-house in the same location, like, you know, like Disney's done with Marvel. I mean, it's smart, you know. I mean, you know, it would add more content to HBO Max, and, you know, your show on HBO Max, you'd have obviously a larger budget. You get opportunity for better special effects.
Well, and they'd probably
better storytelling. I'm sure
they probably cut the episodes down like they do with Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Flash
having 22 episodes, then you'd get 10 or 12, the most.
Which forces you to be tighter on your storytelling.
Absolutely, and cut out some dumb fluff, and you'd have to like be, you know, better writing. Hopefully, that would be awesome. I'd be down for that.
Unless you're Titans, and then it's like hit and miss.
Yeah, Titans first season, awesome. Every season after that, what are they doing? This is weird. I don't like this.
It's like sometimes you're just trying to be real gritty and dark, and then sometimes you're putting random comedy in there. It's weird.
Like, this isn't the time for there to be funny. This isn't it. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, it's gonna be real interesting to see what they do with Pennyworth once they get it over there, you know, since it's being moved over there for the next season.
I'm just curious what they're gonna do with, you know, the DCEU movies, especially Superman, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah, well, and who knows what the fuck's going to happen with Aquaman now, but again, that is some heavier shit I did not want to get into.
They're already filming that one, so I mean, that one's going to be in the can soon. So.
No, but shit can change. I don't mean not filming it. I mean, who's in it?
Oh, well, yeah, that's, I don't want to get into that, because that's a whole, there, those two, I don't know.
The only thing I'll say is that one person should not have pushed to make the whole thing televised. Like, it was just, it's a bad choice.
Neither of them are going to come out looking good on this.
No, so. Nobody's going to win. It don't matter which way it goes. Nobody's going to win.
Nobody.
And finding out shit I did not need to know.
Like, you see it, you're like, this is a relationship where these two people were not good for each other.
No.
And they didn't realize it, and they just spiraled down and dragged each other down together to the bottom. But anyway.
Yeah,
it's just relationships are hard.
And apparently when he got a shit ton of money, even harder.
Yeah. See, being rich isn't always easier.
So back to Netflix. They've also begun laying off additional editorial and TV departments too. So it will be interesting to see, especially with this new, you know, the new price hike that just took effect here. And then them now speculating that there's a future where there could be a lower priced ad supported version of Netflix. Like, is that what's going to save your company? Because, you know, I put up with the ads on like Peacock because I finally bit the bullet and got Peacock, and I'm doing the lowest paid version. So I still get some ads.
Some
of the stuff.
Yeah.
But it just finally got, there was a show on there I finally got tired of hearing everyone talk about, and I needed to watch it. And then, you know, I discovered that Sequest was on there and Sliders. So.
Yeah. You told me, you're like, I'm watching Sequest. And I'm like, oh, you remember that season where it ended, a cliffhanger, the boat disappeared. And the next season, they come back 20 years later. And the show got weird. It jumped like the, it literally jumped a proverbial shark.
Yeah. So I'm going through Sequest and Cameron is going through Sliders.
Sliders. Oh, that show was.
I mainly got it to watch Wolf Like Me.
Oh, did you? I keep meaning that, but I'm just like, I don't know.
I think I like it. I'm only a few episodes in. There was another show I watched on there. I can't remember what it was. It was the Adam Sandler and Maya Rudolph hosted holiday version of Making It called Baking It. That's what got me. Because I love Making It. And then it was like, oh, there's a baking version? Hell yeah, I'm going to watch this. I deal with the ads. And yeah, I'll sit there like 30 seconds. God.
No. My life is over. I can't wait 30 seconds.
But I can't see myself putting up with that on Netflix.
I mean, that's why I got Netflix in the first place, is to watch shit without commercials.
Yeah, and that's why I pay for the no ad version of Hulu. You know, I pay extra money because I got annoyed with the ads on there.
I pay for the no ad version of Paramount Plus. You know,
yeah, same thing. But all those apps, you know, Paramount and Hulu, especially, there is enough content on there to keep me interested that I am willing to pay the higher price. And I think it's the same with like Disney. Don't they have an ad version, or they're about to come out with an ad version? I can't remember. I don't know. I'm going to pay more money to not have the ads. Now, I don't see myself doing that with Peacock, because there's just not enough on Peacock.
You know, I pay the most for Hulu because I get the ad free. Plus, I have the HBO add-on, so I'm paying like 26 some odd bucks a month, which it's fine. I expect that because I've got a premium channel and I've got all the Hulu content, so that's a good value, you know, for what I'm getting. But fucking Netflix, it's like 16 bucks now, and I'm like,
shit, I think it's more like 18.
Well, mine's like $15.49 or something.
And I'm yours hasn't raised yet then.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're not giving me enough for what I'm paying you. And I'm at the point now, it's like, maybe I'll cancel my Netflix until something good comes on, and then I'll like start it up again. I'm not just going to do this month to month and just leave it going.
Yeah. I've thought about that too. Like, okay, should I just treat you like Stars and Showtime? When there's a whole season of something I've been wanting to watch ready.
I feel like I've been waiting like 1,000 years for the new season of Stranger Things, and I'm like, hurry up already. These fucking kids are like, they've passed puberty and they're like adults and they're driving and shit, you know. Kids are shaving now, all right, hurry up. It's, you know, I need to see this fucking show. But wait forever, it feels like.
And we have two more seasons, you know, the one that's starting in like 2 weeks. And then
by the last season, these kids are going to be in college. I mean, I don't know if I want to see kids in college, you know, around.
They might have filmed these two together. I can't remember.
Miss that Goonies feel to it. You know, it's like, well, now I feel like I'm watching an Animal House movie or something.
Yeah. that seems like
teenage Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That seems like a natural place to take a break. So we'll be right back, folks, after we hear these messages.
At the 42cast, we want to bring you everything. And that's why we've jam-packed the next few months with as much as we can. You not only get the same reviews, topics, and interviews that you did before, you also get screen reads, where we compare a movie to its source material, or role models, where we talk about tabletop gaming. It's never been a more exciting time to check out our show. It's your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything, so why not check it out? We can be found on most podcasting platforms, and we are a proud member of the ESO Network.
The Blurred Nerds Podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, where you'll find everything from thought-provoking personal essays, recipes from the Catastrophe Kitchen, themed Spotify playlists, new book reviews, and more. Want to join the coziest corner on the net? Send in your submission today at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com/write-for-us.
Welcome back to the Blurred Nerds Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, folks. The second part of the show, we are going to talk about sports ball.
Yes!
Shocking.
Yes! But finally! Sports ball!
But not, you know, like live and in person sports, but no, it's about one of the latest
cinematic sports ball.
Yes, HBO Max series called Winning Time. Yes,
which is the serialized fiction kind of heavy version of the LA Lakers rise, the dynasty, their sports dynasty that started in 1980 with the drafting of one Irvin Magic Johnson. Through probably their, I imagine the show will go through their fifth in like final championship in 1988 or something.
Well, and they've already discussed about if the additional seasons covering like the Kobe Bryant area, but basically it's adapted from a book of the same name, basically by the author Jeff Perlman, and. You know, is basically showing us dramatized versions of real people. And the show is popular. Like, and I surprisingly am enjoying it because there's a lot of like fourth wall stuff. I think the casting's really good. I enjoy the comedy mixed in there. But, you know, me watching, like in my brain, I'm like, yeah, this is obviously sensationalized. Nobody's
because we're familiar with Adam McKay's, who's the producer, and he's directed a lot of the episodes. We're familiar with his filmmaking and the way his movies, he chooses that. Yeah, it's there's drama, but it's a dramedy, so there's comedic elements, and it's heavy on like just kind of, you know, satire and, you know, over, I guess, realized characters that are just kind of caricatures of the real person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this whole thing with Jerry West, who's a Laker legend, you know, he's basically, they call him the logo because he is the logo of the NBA. Like they took his silhouette and that's him in that logo. So, you know, he's a Laker legend. He's an NBA legend. And the way they portrayed him in the show is that he's a really cantankerous, angry son of a bitch.
A rageaholic, basically.
Yeah, he's got rage issues and he's, you know, depressive. So they showed him that he's, you know, that, you know, he finally won a championship after like losing like 9 in a row, like 6 of them to the Celtics, you know, championships. And he won and he wasn't happy. And then he realized that, you know, that wasn't the ultimate goal he was looking for. And he was the coach and he quit. And the way it shows him, you're just like, wow, man, his life, he seems like he's just tortured. And, you know, the real Jerry West is like, that's not accurate. And
let's say that a lot of the real life people these caricatures are based on, you know, have publicly spoken about not appreciating the show. Like Magic Johnson, you just said he's not going to watch it, but he's already made up his mind he's not going to like it. And it's like, well, come on.
You're not going to like it, Magic, because it's showing things about you that you know are true, that you didn't like about yourself.
Well, that you things you even refuse to talk about in actual documentaries that you've taken part in.
Right.
Including like I watched the one that just got released
on Apple Plus. And it's like Magic, it's kind of a horribly kept secret that Magic was very promiscuous. I mean, he got around. I mean, he was a professional athlete making lots of money, and he was athletic and handsome and whatever, you know, women would flock to him. And it was the 80s, so folks didn't exactly practice a lot of safe sex. And unfortunately, you know, the consequences, that's how he ended up contracting the HIV. And, you know, this show hasn't addressed that yet. But like the first episode, actually, it starts with like the post-press conference where he's, you know, and his agent or the guy in the car with him is crying, and Magic just sitting there like, what the fuck? You know, like, what do I do now? But, you know, I imagine he's not, you know, Magic Johnson's not going to watch because he's going to see things that remind him of shit he did that he's regretful of.
Well, yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has released multiple essay articles.
Sour ass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
decrying the show.
I don't think Kareem has liked anything since like 71.
The way I see it, besides this one scene in the first episode where he was like, I wouldn't have cussed in front of the kid.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I kind of see that happening.
But yeah, I was like, I don't know, Kareem. I mean, you could have had a bad day and don't remember it. You told a kid to, you know, fuck you, kid. I thought that part was funny, though.
Yeah, I laughed out loud.
He came up to him and was like, Mr. Jabbar, I love you. And you just put this and that, and he was like gushing to him. And Jabbar was like, fuck you, kid. I was like, yeah, that's kind of it right there.
But other than that, I think
they portrayed him as you know, a good
quiet
dude. He's quiet. He was to himself.
And
he was cerebral. He's more. He fancied himself more of an intelligent, well thought, well read person. He read like the newspaper and not just like the, you know, sports pages. He read the whole newspaper, and he was very well read.
But I think it's also been very respective of his religion.
Right.
And showing that he was a person that, you know, was an activist and cared about how he was presented to the world.
Yeah, he cared about how, as a black man in America, how he was seen and how, you know, the NBA and sports in general, kind of people like himself got used up in, you know, in the game kind of deal, and that he felt like he didn't want to be a part of that, but he still, how he fit into his place as, you know, all-star NBA legend and, you know, a black man and activist and whole deal. This is way before, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, LeBron just coming out and saying what he wants to say. And I thought they've been really respectful of that. And oh my God, the guy they got to play him, I was like, wow. I mean, you look at the actual real Kareem and this guy, and you're like, what the, man, I don't know where they got this guy from, but he's amazing. He really is. And he's actually a doctor. Dr. Solomon.
Yeah.
Hugh.
But back to Jerry West. So Jerry West, through his attorney, basically, like, I guess is contemplating a defamation case, that released a statement that basically said the Jerry West in Winning Time bears no resemblance to the real man, wrote his attorney, Skip Miller. The real Jerry West prided himself on treating people with dignity and respect. Winning Time is a baseless and malicious assault on Jerry West's character, who reduced the legacy of an 83-year-old legend and role model to that of a vulgar and unprofessional bully, the polar opposite of the real man.
Right. But, I mean, does he really have kind of a leg to stand on? Because the series starts with a warning. says this series is a dramatization of certain facts and events. Some of the names have been changed and some of the events and characters have been fictionalized, modified, or composited for dramatic purposes. That's right there telling you, you're not going to see the actual 100% story as it happened. We're going to futz with some stuff, move things around to make it cinematically entertaining, while she'll still try to tell you the general story. Like, we're going to give you like 80% of what actually happened. The other 20%, we're just going to kind of mess around with to make it more entertaining. It's Hollywood, man. I think Jerry West is just like, maybe some of this might actually have happened. And he's like, hey, don't put that out there. I don't know.
But in response to that, it took a few days, but HBO fired back and basically said, let's see, let's find the exact quote. This is from the Hollywood Reporter, released an article in a statement provided exclusively to HR. The network said HBO has a long history of producing compelling content drawn from actual facts and events that are fictionalized in part for dramatic purposes. Plenty Time is not a documentary and has not been presented as such. However, the series and its depictions are based on extensive factual research and reliable sourcing, and HBO stands resolutely behind our talented creators and cast who have brought a dramatization of this active chapter in basketball history to the screen. So, you know, they're going to stand by it. And as we've, you know, already seen play out many times, it's real hard to prove a defamation case.
Right. Because it's like artistic license. You know, you just, you put out the disclaimer and you tell them it's fictionalized and, you know, we've changed names and, you know, it's for dramatization purposes. You know, you've basically come out and said, first, before anything starts, that this isn't 100% truth and a lot of this is fiction, so don't take this seriously, you know.
But also, the people who were making complaints, a lot of them were complaining about this show before it ever got released, before there was a trailer released.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, were you upset about the book too and just didn't say anything?
Because maybe some of the stuff that's in there may have actually happened, and they're just kind of like, shit, I don't want my business on Front Street. That's old news. It's like, why you been talking about old shit?
Well, I mean, I know that the author of the book is, you know, he used to be on good terms with a lot of people, Perlman, with the people in the back office at the Lakers organization, including Jeannie Buss, Dr. Buss's daughter. He, you know, he said not so much now. Well, this but you know, if somebody was going to make a complaint about this show, to me it would be Jeannie,
right?
Of the way her dad's portrayed, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Her dad is I don't know how Jerry Buss was. He was kind of had that swagger, and he was out there. He was out there with the ladies, and he enjoyed being the owner of the Lakers, and he enjoyed the Hollywood life. I'll tell you that much. I don't think Jeannie has come out and said a lot, because I don't know.
I think she
feels like it's going to be below her to even address it.
Well, I've seen just
too
a quick
busy
statement
running the Lakers
from the Lakers representation in general, saying that, you know, they don't agree with the sensationalistic story.
See, the thing is,
that's about it.
There are books like these all the time that come out about sports dynasties. They had one back in the 90s about the Dallas Cowboys and their Super Bowl years in the 90s. They talked about, you know, Michael Irvin just snorting cocaine in the locker room kind of stuff, and, you know, just the crazy zany shit that went on, you know, when they got off the field. And those tell-all books happen all the time, and any kind of famous sports team has had a book written about them, or a documentary made about them, or a fictional show made about them. It's shit like that is ripe for, you know, to mine for drama and for entertainment. It's sports. It's the most real, unpredictable entertainment there is. But, you know, you take that and then you just kind of add some Hollywood drama to it, and you've got, you know, Winning Time.
But the dog's barking. Hold on. No, you can talk. I'm trying not to blow out all of our listeners' ears.
So, I mean, the series has kind of been in, I guess, under the microscope from the beginning. It's been embroiled in off-screen drama for years, dating back to the recasting of then-owner Jerry Buss and the subsequent demise of one of Hollywood's most fruitful friendships. It was basically Adam McKay and Will, what's his name? The comedian?
Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell, like, was really campaigning hard to play Jerry Buss. Like, he just, like, the role he wanted above all else. And
honestly, I don't know if I could see him in that part.
Yeah. But now it's who is it? James Riley? John C. Riley.
John C. Riley, yeah.
Yeah, who got the role? And he's fantastic as Jerry Buss. Like, I'm like, he looks like him. He just kind of has got that walk, and he's just, you're like, man, that looks like Jerry Buss to me. But Adam McKay kind of went behind his back and cast Riley over Will Ferrell, and they kind of, like, their friendship ended, and all three of them are like, I don't want to talk to you, kind of in that situation. So, yeah, it's just drama all around.
Which, you know, once it makes the press, then that just gets more people seeing it talked about and
absolutely
wanting to watch it.
People are like, well, all this drama, it must be good enough for people to hate on it. I'm going to check it out.
But, and our listeners out there might be wondering, like, what does this have to do with nerdy stuff? Because we have had that brought up when we've, you know, talked about the reality shows. Uh-huh. But I'd say for this, because, well, one, I do have a soft spot, oddly enough, for fictional sports shows. Like, give me a Kevin Costner-led sports movie. Oh, I'm going to watch the fuck out of that shit. Like, because it's, you know.
Have you seen Draft Day?
You've grown, I think so, yeah. yeah. Grown up.
Kevin Costner sports movie? Yes, yeah. Please.
Because he's been doing that since we were kids. So
that's it's like his wheelhouse.
Man. It's comforting. Yeah. It's comforting for him to be in a sports movie. Yeah. Or a Western, you know? That's just.
Yeah, that's just like what I said, that's what he does. You know,
this show, I wasn't, you know, when I saw it pop up on the, you know, premiered now, watch the first episode, like, nothing about the picture got my attention, but then when I was, I think it was watching the finale of The Gilded Age, they showed the trailer at the beginning, and then seeing how, like, sensationalized they were making their show, like, there's all these jump cuts and title cards, it's filmed to look like it's grainy.
Yeah, it's got film grain, 80s. It looks like it's off of VCR sometimes, yeah. You're like, this, I remember watching games that looked like this. Yeah.
all the fourth wall breaking, as how often John C. Riley talks directly to the camera and tells his backstory. Also, like, Sally Fields in it as Buzz's mom, and she's actually really obsessed with basketball in real life. So that's kind of a cool little tidbit. There's great actors in this show.
And plus, I like seeing with something that's, like, you know, sort of historical, like, you know, it's based on events that actually did happen. I like seeing who they cast to play, like, famous people, like, because a lot of the Laker games, you know, celebrities just would be sitting courtside up and down, like, they'd just be filthy with celebrities. I want to see who they get to, like, play Jack Nicholson.
Well, I can tell you, like, I would never think of Adrian Brody being cast as a famous basketball player.
Yeah, but then you go
later turn coach, you know.
Look at the real Pat Riley, then look at Adrian Brody. They look alike. They do. And you're like, oh, I see it.
And, you know, Jason Segel's in it. Segel is in a bunch of nerdy stuff. So it's like, I nerd out over things that are done well stylistically, have a unique point of view that's doesn't seem like something I've watched before, and there's just as much comedy as there is drama in this show. So absolutely. I've really grown to appreciate it more with each episode.
And I nerd out because sports is, people will say, well, sports ball, it's just not nerdy. Well, actually, no, it is. Because sports, if you follow sports, it's like being a fanatic of a TV show.
Well, no, let's put it in a different way. Not everybody is a stereo like the stereotypical.
I wouldn't say I'm a stereotypical sports fan. I'm not sitting there going to games, painting my face, wearing, you know, a player's jersey, screaming at other people and saying, "What's up, bro?"
Yeah, and
I'm not in the parking lot beating people up after my team loses. I don't like those kind of fans either.
And a lot of nerds these days do have more that, you know, they do have interest in some sports. So right.
I've always felt like I'm a unicorn, kind of that I like nerdy. I have foot in both worlds. Like, I love nerdy shit, but then I'm like, I also will watch all 7 rounds of the NFL draft because I want to see who my team picks, you know, or I've got devotion to a team because I grew up watching, you know, that team with my mom or whoever. And, you know, it's kind of like a bond. And I follow certain teams. Like, there are people who love Firefly to death. They know every single minute fact about Firefly, or they know every single minute fact about Star Wars.
You know what? It's easy to know every detail about Firefly when there's only one season.
That's not my point. My point is people get fanatical about it and they just pick apart every single little detail. Well, I feel that way about, like, my favorite sports teams, the players, their stats. You know, I like to know about the behind the scenes stuff and the how they put together a team, how they perform on the field, how the front office is. I'm into the whole thing, and I find it absolutely enthralling, and that it fuels my nerd energy. Like, it fills up my nerd gas tank. You know,
this is not, you know, your typical sports documentary type show. You know,
you're not watching like a static kind of note by note, like boring, like, this is what happened.
It's not like the Kevin Costner sports movies, you know? Or if you were going to compare it to a sports movie, I'd say it's closest to Bull Durham, which is a comedy and weird.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So yeah,
I would say so. Or it's like Bull Durham or like Major League or something.
Yeah.
It's loosely based on actual sporting events kind of deal, but
And then there's just some random wild crazy shit that will happen in every episode.
Yeah.
Or the way they, you know, without going too much into spoilers, there's something that happens to the Lakers coach that happened in real life.
Yeah.
But the way they show that in the show, when it ends one of the episodes, I couldn't believe the length they made that scene.
I was just like, oh, I giggled. I'm like, that wasn't funny. But I guess the way they portrayed it, it's like it was a little funny, but you're like, that happened to that guy. And that's not, you know, it was serious shit at the time.
Yeah. But it's not filmed for a dramatic effect.
What we're saying is, if you enjoy sports even a little bit, or check out Winning Time.
If you enjoy the actors who are in this cast,
or you want to see
something set in the 80s, but not in like a cheesy type of 80s way, which is a lot of what we get sometimes. We get these nostalgic pieces.
It's this over dramatized version of the 80s. You're like, I remember the 80s. It wasn't like that, man. It wasn't like that. They overdid it.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe give it a try. Might find yourself nerding out over it the same as us.
Yeah, maybe.
And before we end the show, I want to also suggest another show streaming that I finished last night. It's only 3 episodes. Each episode is about like 48 minutes long, and it's called Fat Tuesdays, the Era of Hip Hop Comedy. It says season 1, so it might give us another season, but it's basically about this series that showcased Black comedy hosted by Guy Tori at the Comedy Store in 90s Los Angeles. And you get a lot of like original footage showing these comics when they were starting out and getting their big break, as well as a lot of them, you know, guesting now and talking about what the scene was like. It was very funny. It's very interesting. And the people on there, you got everyone from like Snoop Dogg, Regina King, Dave Chappelle, Steve Hartley, to Tiffany Haddish, Lou Nell, Jay Farrow, Chris Tucker. They really just brought out a lot of people. And it's very interesting, you know, especially for me, like, since I didn't grow up in California, and most of my stand-up comedy, you know, was what was being put on HBO, like Def Comedy Jam. And there's a lot of crossover comedians from Def Comedy Jam on the show. So only 3 episodes. It's very funny, very informative, very interesting. If it is indeed season 1 of many more, I'll be very happy with that. And the end of the last episode actually got me a bit teary-eyed. Something very heartwarming happens. So okay. if you like comedy documentaries, I highly recommend it.
I'll have to check that out. A show I recommend you don't watch.
Don't watch. Oh my God, no, look, that's going to come a whole argument. Because I'm really enjoying it, so we will save that for next episode.
Well, whatever. Argument could be started. No. Nope. You know? Come fight me. I don't care.
If you're not a fan of the game, you're going to like it for what it is, in my opinion. So, and
if you're a fan of the game, you probably will see all the stuff that's not in it that you wish was, and you're probably going to be irritated like me.
Yeah. To be continued. As always, folks, we appreciate you spending an hour or so with us, and we hope you join us again in a couple weeks. And until then, y'all take care out there.
And as always, don't forget your pillow. Ouch, you okay?
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With 4 tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.